This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A little bit about the day that I got the phone call from my son 2 days ago at 1:47 was the worst day of my life. He called and said he just got pulled over by the police. And then he said that, I said, well, why did you get pulled over? And he said, because I had air fresheners hanging in the rearview mirror. I said, okay, we'll take them down. He said he also, the police officers were asking about insurance. And I said, okay, when the police officer comes back to the window, put him on the phone and I can give him all of our insurance information. A second goes by and I hear the police officer come back up to the window and ask Dante to get out of the car. Dante asked for what? The police officer said, I'll explain to you when you get out of the car. He said, am I in trouble? He said, we'll explain all that when you step out of the car. Dante... And then they asked him to put the phone down. Dante put the phone down. I heard some scuffling. He got out of the car, and I could hear the police officers and scuffling with him.
Thank you, Tom. We're with you.
We love you, son.
Then the police officer asked them to hang up the phone. They hung up the phone. 3 or 4 seconds went by, I tried calling it back to back to back, because I didn't know what was going on, and I never imagined this is what was going to happen. I just thought maybe he was being arrested, and then when I called back, the girl that he had in the car answered the phone, and it was on a FaceTime, and she said, she was crying and screaming, and she said that they shot him.
Tough to listen to the words of Katie Wright, Dante Wright's mom. He's the black man from Minneapolis who was shot by a former Minnesota police officer. She now is going to be charged with manslaughter in Dante Wright's shooting. The 48-year-old cop was training another when all of this went down. You heard the details from the mom of Dante Wright. Wow, such tough stuff. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Welcome to the show. We're going to traverse in a couple of different directions, including, obviously, this one. A couple of big details, as this is a huge story. We're going to look at the legal aspects of it coming up next on the show. But Kimberly Potter, the former Minnesota cop, who did shoot Wright after mistakenly drawing her gun instead of her taser, was arrested on Wednesday and is going to be charged with second-degree manslaughter, according to state prosecutors. So they took her into custody early in the morning, right before noon, at the BCA, as they call it, in St. Paul. So an interesting place for her to be on the opposite side of things, the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. So she was charged a day after she resigned in the wake of the 20-year-old shooting, which set off a third day of protest in the Minneapolis suburb. Potter's lawyer didn't respond to any request from anybody. I threw a request out there, too, along with, I'm sure, hundreds of others. But she's a 26-year veteran of the force, and she and the police chief, Tim Gannon, both resigned after that shooting. And now there's a lot of video that's out there, and obviously the words of Katie Wright and also the father of Dante Wright, too, as they've been interviewed in a couple of different situations and even held a press conference, which is what you heard there. And she could be heard, Katie Potter, on tape on her body cam saying, holy, you know what, saying, I just shot him. So she was training another officer at the time of the fatal mistake. Then the rest now has gone in this direction, and there's lots of calls for being tougher on cops when these situations happen, and now there will be more eyes again on Minneapolis for this, as the Derek Chauvin defense is working its way through various experts. One expert today, while this was going on with the arrest of the police officer in the Wright case, was blaming heart disease and drug use for George Floyd's death. A former Maryland state medical examiner said he would classify Floyd's manner of death as undetermined, not homicide. This was David Fowler. But then, of course, on cross-examination, it was a different story as to how that came out, saying, how could you know that in no examination? So it was interesting when the prosecutor, Jerry Blackwell, questioned the testimony of the former chief medical examiner, and it was a different story. He could not confirm what he had just said when he was asked by defense attorney Eric Nelson, who was arguing that Floyd died of a combination of drug intoxication and existing health problems, including heart disease and high blood pressure. Derek Chauvin is on trial for three counts of the murder of George Floyd. The jury should get it. They should get the case, so to speak, by the beginning of next week. We'll see, because the defense is flying through their expert witnesses, but this was the latest aim at trying to prove that Floyd could have died of all kinds of things, including one of the more ridiculous things that was thrown out, I thought, was that he could have died of exposure to carbon monoxide. Yeah, because he was being choked to death with his face on the pavement and doubtful. So the former medical examiner didn't admit he was aware that the squad car, because that's what he said, was a hybrid vehicle, or it might not have been running. And this is what you get sometimes, right? You bring someone else out, and then the prosecution knocks it down. And that's exactly, I think, what happened this time in court. So I do believe that this trial moves pretty fast now at a pretty quick clip, if you will. The other big buzz in the backyard, and I say that's what we talk about here on this show. What are you talking about, and what are we jawing about? And I think pretty much across the board, at some point, you're thinking about Afghanistan, because once again, you know, there was no victory out of this one. There may have been little victories, but at what point do you say, this is our longest conflict? We made the point, Osama bin Laden is dead, two decades, tens of thousands of deaths, and trillions of dollars in costs. So now the U.S. is pulling out, and I talked about this the other day. More of the details are starting to come out. Remember, immediately after the 9/11 terror attacks, the rationale for invading Afghanistan was all about wiping out al-Qaeda and overthrow the Taliban government, even though none of the hijackers or planners were actually Afghans. Remember, there was the big tie, of course, to Saudi Arabia, but again, Osama bin Laden did end up dead as a result of some of what was uncovered. And within 6 months, the leaders of al-Qaeda and the Taliban were dead, captured or in hiding. But there was no withdrawal. The U.S. government started to kind of move in a different direction, and that lasted for 19 years. So 19 years. I'm sure there's some Afghanis who are concerned about the American troops pulling out, because what a void, in a sense, it will make. And at one point, the number of troops was pretty high, when you're talking about 25,000 by the end of 2007. And then you still have Iraq, really, as the priority. Mm. Coming up next, we look at the legal side of what's happened with Dante Wright, with Kirk Davis next.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
With more people at home due to the pandemic, it's more important than ever to keep small lithium coin batteries away from children. On a mission to help keep families safe, battery brand Duracell and the American Academy of Pediatrics have joined forces to power safely. Bobby Mendez, president of Duracell North America.
At Duracell, we're very proud of be teaming up with the AAP in this shared mission of keeping children safe. And at the heart of the effort is a campaign to raise awareness.
Duracell has also come out with a bitter coating on their most popular lithium coin batteries.
And what this does, it discourages the child from swallowing the battery. So that's really the at the heart of the innovation.
Duracell and the AAP urge all parents, caregivers, and pediatricians to learn more about lithium coin battery safety at Duracell.com or HealthyChildren.org.
I mentioned her at the top, the former Minnesota police officer who fatally shot Dante Wright after mistakenly drawing her gun instead of her taser, charged with second-degree manslaughter, and the Washington County attorney who is prosecuting the incident said details of the charges are going to be released, and they're working on that. But Potter, 48, was charged today after she resigned from the Brooklyn Center Police Department in the wake of the 20-year-old shooting. And, of course, there's lots of protests happening in the Minneapolis suburb. Kirk Davis joins us. He's been on before. He's a Seattle-based personal injury and trial attorney. He gets this stuff. Hey, Kirk, thanks for coming on.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
So are you surprised what happened with Kim Potter, that she's being charged?
I wasn't at all surprised. It just fits the statute there in Minnesota. They've got this second-degree manslaughter charge, which is the same charge they've got in the Chauvin case as sort of their fallback charge, if you will, if they can't make the murder case stick. And it is culpable negligence, where a person creates an unreasonable risk and takes a chance of causing great bodily harm. So that really, you know, it looks like it fits this situation. And so that's what the prosecutor's looking at.
So in the prosecutor looking at that, how does he sew up this case to make sure it sticks? Because as we know, it's really tough when you go after police officers for this. But although we're watching what's happening with Chauvin.
Well, you're right, of course, Kate. I mean, it is tough. I mean, you go after it by the differences, I think, between these weapons. You know, the service weapon that she fired, I mean, it's even a different color It's got to be a different weight. And it carried on a different side of her body. You know, she just went against all of her training. It's just a real tragic, tragic situation.
Boy, it sure is a tragic situation. And you wonder, too, when something like this happens and you see what goes on in the courts, and you know this from being a lawyer and looking at all sides of this, sometimes then policy changes. I mean, this could be a policy changer for not just the Minneapolis police force, but others.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I mean, there's all kinds of things to look at here. Like, first of all, did it make sense to use the taser? Was that something that was part of the center police and procedures and trainings, or did she just sort of step outside of that? And she's an officer who was actually training other officers and had so many multiple decades on the force.
Yeah, wow, crazy. Do you think we're going to see more of these cases? I mean, in other words, like I said before, it's very difficult when you have police officers in certain circumstances and then you see that there are so many cases that were dismissed or they are, you know, found not guilty or for other various reasons, it doesn't stick whatever the prosecution levels at them. Do you think we're going to see more cases?
Well, I don't know about across the country, like out here in Washington State, but certainly there in Minnesota, I think absolutely. If this happens again, you know, this statute there is just ready made for this kind of situation. And it's an easy call for the prosecutor, especially where they're facing so much political pressure.
Yeah. And on the defense side of things, they'll talk about, well, it was an accident, you know, in the heat of the moment, that kind of thing.
100% right. I mean, the chief of police, who, of course, also resigned, former chief, I guess I should say, he, you know, released the video and said, look, I mean, this proves that this was an accident. So certainly that's where they're going on this thing. And they may, I mean, it's always a risk to try to put somebody on the stand, but maybe they do that and try to humanize her. I mean, I'm sure she's, I mean, I assume she's just absolutely distraught about the situation.
Yeah. All right, so we'll be watching that one. Kirk Davis, thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so it's we're seeing this play out again, and this is just the beginning part of what will happen, I think, in this futuristic trial, but this is just the very beginning of that, while the Chauvin trial is playing out and the defense, as I said at the top, is doing what they're doing and calling experts. And I don't think Chauvin himself is going to take the stand, and then what is ultimately the decision there. And people are saying, well, who is Kim Potter? She was released on $100,000 bond. She's facing second-degree manslaughter charges in the Wright's death. And so she posted that on Wednesday evening, was released from jail. She's scheduled for that initial court appearance on Thursday afternoon. If found guilty, she faces 10 years in prison, a $20,000 fine. That would be the Minnesota law anyway. Former police chief Tim Gannon, who resigned Tuesday, said he believed Potter mistakenly reached for her firearm instead of her taser when she shot Wright. And he resigned, as I mentioned already, too. The intent isn't a necessary component of second-degree manslaughter in Minnesota. The charge can be applied in circumstances, as Kirk was saying, where a person is suspected of causing a death by culpable negligence. That's something, as he mentioned, to keep in mind. That creates an unreasonable risk. And consciously, you take chances to cause the death of a person, and that's where they're going with this one. And Potter was training somebody on the job, and before this happened, she was awarded the Medal of Merit for her response in a house fire and et cetera, et cetera. But looking at the resume of somebody and then this situation, I don't think comes into play. It's what happened here, and because of the way that Minnesota law is worded, it works definitely, I think, in the favor of the prosecutors who are going for that charge who have it, and they're, and we'll see what the court appearance, it's just the very beginning, like I said, we'll see what the court appearance brings. But her body worn camera footage shows her standing behind Wright's car as one officer approaches the driver's side, another approaches the passenger side. He gets out of the car. The officer on the driver's side begins to arrest him, but appears to stop momentarily. Wright then pulls away and reenters the car as a struggle happens and is shouting, "I'll tase you, I'll tase you, tase you, tase you." Then, of course, the shot, not the tase. And sadly, that was the end, ultimately, of the young man's life at 20 years old. Mm. Wow. Speaking of the end of life, somebody who is a scourge to so many and the orchestrator of the largest Ponzi scheme in the U.S., Bernie Madoff, who had 37,000 victims, the schemer, the king of the dupers, is dead. He died in prison. It was just kind of like a blip on the radar screen. You remember how much this story was getting dredged up in the beginning of what happened, the shock, the fallout, all of that from the Ponzi scheme, how shocking it was because of his reputation in the world of finance before it all collapsed in a huge scandal. And again, trying to put his death into perspective, I think there's a lot of people that at the time, I can remember people screaming at outside of the courthouse, "Burn in hell, Bernie." So this is the end of the line for Bernie Madoff. And boy, was that nasty how many people that he scammed out of money, how many celebrities, how many people that had just a handful of dollars, I'll call it, to invest and were worried about their retirement but saw the kinds of returns that they thought that they could get. And there's like that lesson in there. If it seems to be too good to be true, it probably is. And I think that's how he reeled people in, with his reputation and with the desire of so many to make more money on whatever amount of money they invested. And somehow he was getting these huge returns. And, of course, we all know how he did it. We all know what happened because of the reputation he had. So he died at the age of 82, the final 11 years of his life in prison for orchestrating, as I said, one of the biggest investment frauds of all time. Coast to coast, he ripped people off. Coming up, the mailbag.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden announced Wednesday that all American troops would be leaving Afghanistan by this September 11th. About 2,500 troops are currently still in country. Biden says now is the time to end the country's 20-year war.
After consulting closely with our allies and partners, with our military leaders and intelligence personnel, with our diplomats and our development experts, with the Congress and the Vice President, as well as with Mr. Ghani and many others around the world, I've concluded that it's time to end America's longest war. It's time for American troops to come home.
And one person is dead and 12 more are missing after a 190-foot lift boat capsized Tuesday off the coast of Louisiana. The massive vessel capsized in a severe storm with 80 to 90 mile an hour wind gusts recorded. The Coast Guard says they rescued 6 of the 19 people who were aboard at the time of the accident. This is USA Radio News. Vice President Kamala Harris says she'll be heading to Central America as soon as possible to try to deal with the surge in migrants at the southern border diplomatically. Tim Berg reports.
Vice President Kamala Harris said on Wednesday she has no plans to visit the U.S. southern border, but she's looking forward to a trip soon to Mexico and Guatemala to address the core causes of the surging illegal immigration from Central America.
A large part of our focus is diplomatic in terms of what we can do in a way that is about working with these countries. So, for example, I have talked with the President of Mexico, the President of Guatemala. We have, well, probably saying too much, but we have plans in the works to go to Guatemala as soon as possible, given all of the restrictions in terms of COVID and things of that nature.
Harris speaking at a roundtable discussion regarding immigration on Wednesday. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Many scientific studies have linked inflammation in the human body to several common health challenges suffered by Americans every day.
This idea about essential fatty acids getting turned into inflammatory or non-inflammatory chemicals. If you're dealing with an inflammatory issue like arthritis, and many diseases and many immune conditions have inflammatory components. If you have any inflammatory issues, essential fatty acids are maybe the most important nutritional supplements you could use. If you have fat absorption problems, you're going to want to take your EFAs with digestive enzymes, with fatty meals. It can also help improve your ability to process and absorb these super, super mega important nutritional compounds, essential fatty acids.
To keep inflammation at a minimum in your body, do what Ben Fuchs does and order Ultimate EFAs and Ultimate EFA Plus from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebed.com. That's brightsidebed.com. Order today.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail, man. Let's get in the mail, man.
Well, we have Doug, and we got a ton of email. Thanks to all of you. 24/7, you can shoot me your thoughts, of course, anytime, day or night. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Jake in Austin says, "Hey, Kate Delaney, I may be leaving Texas. I love it, but it's ridiculous what's going on with the morons who control energy. Did you hear what happened the other day with ERCOT and the emergency warning shocks on what was really a mild April day?" Of course, did I hear what happened? Yes. You know what's so interesting, Jake, is that ERCOT stands for Electric Reliability Council of Texas. How about the Unreliable Council of Texas? It's the worst. So what happened is you had a higher temperature, 62 degrees Fahrenheit, like Amarillo, for example. Brownsville, we have great listeners in Brownsville. By the time they had sent out the fact that there was this emergency in Brownsville, it was 83 degrees, which was a pretty average temperature for that time of, for this time of year. And that's what you're talking about. How crazy is it to now have this problem with the grid? ERCOT felt the need to send out a notice of potential emergency conditions, citing a stalled cold front as the partial reason? You gotta be kidding me. You got to be kidding me with that. You know, and so when it went out, people started to look at, wow, what they're saying it's because the heavy amount of outages is due to the maintenance required from the February winter storm. And that's exactly what it was. Because of the maintenance of shutting down what they had to shut down, then that caused the panic that, wow, we may see that we've got a warning with the current demand for energy on the grid that was nearly 49,000 megawatts at 5 p.m. when the available supply to the grid was about 50,000 megawatts. Yikes! So that, so kind of the all call went out to make sure you didn't jack up your air and you kept it low. If everybody could just keep it a little bit lower. It is day by day here in Texas, Jake, and I hope you don't leave. I don't think you see you should leave, but it is scary. The idiots are at the controls. That's all I can say. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Susan, listening to us in Iowa. There we go again, Iowa. I love these Iowa people. It's only been, I don't know, less than a month, and you have just jumped on the show, so thank you for that. And Susan says, Kate, I am so glad I did not get that Johnson & Johnson shot. I was kind of lamenting to my friends that, oh, if I could just get one shot and not have to have two shots and risk what are the side effects and what could happen. And now this horrible thing that's happened with the J&J vaccine and the blood clots, I feel like, you know, I know that it's a lot of people were vaccinated and they were fine. But the fact that you had those cases and they were very severe and you have people in the hospital, women in the hospital, you have someone who died and someone in critical condition is what you said the other day. That's still scary to me. And I'm glad that I wasn't one of those people that got it because I really wanted to just get the J&J vaccine. Yeah, you know, they did the smart thing and the CDC jumped on this too. They put a pause on it for another week because of the blood clot fears. And they're saying that you could get the blood clots weeks after you got the vaccine. So, of course, I think it stirs up more vaccine hesitancy because you hear that. And even if almost 7 million people got vaccinated, which is true, with the J&J shot, when you just hear that somebody went to get a simple vaccine and they were young, it was 18 to 48 year olds who had the blood clots. Yeah, that's, that shakes you up a bit. It does. So what moving forward, how do you inspire confidence in that? I mean, there were 6.8 million Americans who had been associated with J&J, and there was the six cases of the uncommon, you would have to say, uncommon blood clots. But in your mind, I mean, you know, here's a great test. I even asked the hubs, because we both are vaccinated fully now. We got Moderna and went together the whole thing. He's a veteran, and he could have gone before me and gone to the vets, but he wanted to wait when we both got the amazing call that we were 10 billion on the list, but somehow we had, you know, our time had come up with people not getting it or a lot of supplies of vaccines or whatever. And even he said to me, I don't know how I would have felt about the J&J, because we can process the numbers and say, well, yeah, look at those numbers, look at the odds. But it's just frightening to think that could happen. So here's the thing. It's on pause. Right now it's on pause, and there are other vaccines out there, and they're looking at, making sure, however you do that, that it's okay to lift it and use doses of J&J again, which meaning like Anthony Fauci of the CDC, other doctors, that it's going to be fine. But I still go to, you hear that, and your mind processes it, that's easy to say, a little bit differently, right? Okay, let's move on to another one. This one is from Tim, and he says, hey, Kate Delaney, I'm very excited to have this fog of COVID behind us people in my neighborhood are starting to come out more and go to restaurants, and they're doing the in and out thing. You know, they're still being careful and there's some distancing, but it feels like we are alive and thriving again. More businesses are opening. I hope that people listening to your show support local businesses, because local businesses, especially restaurants, really, really struggled in all of this. If you think of what it would be like to try to survive an entire year, get through it, and then come out on the other side and pray we don't see any other kind of a surge again. Yeah, I second that. Absolutely support your local restaurants and businesses any way you can. And that was the whole idea of the curbside pickup. And I know in my neighborhood, there a lot of people were reaching out to tell people that, hey, they're struggling. This is happening. What can we do? Go to this place. There's great curbside. There's ways around it. People are social distancing outside and whatnot. So there were restaurants, I think, that were saved. And there were others that went down. One of my favorite places my entire time that I've been in Texas, you know, we just have that place. It was a Chinese restaurant, and it was called Tasty Egg Roll. And they just had great egg rolls. You know, it was just kind of a little hole in the wall, and they just went under. They survived as long as they could, and then it just couldn't do it anymore. It's what I assume, right? Because they at one point were just thriving, absolutely thriving. All right, speaking of thriving or collapsing, big events, and that was on the mind of Mac. He says, Kate, I heard you talking about the Olympics and whether we would boycott the United States, the Beijing Winter Olympics, but what about Tokyo? The fact that you cannot really have fans, except that they're talking about fans that are there. They've had to stop the torch relay because of spiking coronavirus cases, and there are fears about whether the game should even go ahead with just 100 days before the opening ceremony. I, for one, believe that there's no way they're going to cancel the games. I don't think the International Olympic Committee will do that, but they're not going to have fans. There's not going to be any fans there, but at least the teams would be able to compete. You know what's so interesting? Japan's not requiring Olympic participants to be vaccinated, but the IOC is encouraging that, and they've secured Chinese-made doses for athletes in countries without access to them. The games are absolutely expected to go on, and Japan sporting events are still on. The crowd numbers are capped, and fans have become used to virus rules that will be implemented at the summer games, including a ban on cheering. You can't cheer because, I don't know, you might spread the virus, right? Because what's happening, so no cheering. There are countries that are starting to say, I don't know if we should go or not. Are you surprised? North Korea, they decided to skip the Tokyo Games over the virus, but it certainly hasn't pushed some of the bigger places to say, we're not going to go there. You know, it's got to be motivating for the athletes. In fact, I saw a quote from the great Katie Ledecky, who's one of our best in the U.S., a five-time Olympic gold medalist, and she said, I want to get there. We want to show the world all the work that we've put in. We are prepared. We are prepared. So the last 14 months or so, that's what it's about, getting prepared for the Olympics. They're not going to scrap it. I can't imagine they're going to scrap this. But fans, overseas fans, barred from the games. So it has to be domestic spectators that will fill the facilities up to whatever they'll allow it anyway. Teresa Chatham joins us next. She's got an interesting story. Stay with us.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Right, in our virtual green room, Paula Diggs is, and she joins us. She's written a really interesting character, and the book is Suzanne Collier's second book of mysteries and mayhem, and it is it conjures up all kinds of things, and we're going to dive into that. But Paula, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk about your writing career. What got you started in deciding I'm going to write?
Well, I guess as a kid, I always kept little journals, and I used to tell stories to the kids in the neighborhood, and every summer. When we would sit under the trees and I would tell stories. And years later, I got letters from them wondering what I was doing with my stories. So I guess I just started writing more stories.
And did you know that eventually you'd be a published author?
I was hoping to be. That was the goal that I always had.
Yeah. And you were, right? You were, we talked about this off the air. You were, steeped in English at Cal State Northridge. I mean, this is what you wanted to do. You're an educator.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm an educator, and I was an English major, and that was my goal always with writing and creative writing.
So now that you actually have done it, what does that feel like?
It was fun. It was just the books were fun to write, and it was fun as a writer to meet other writers and to talk about words.
And you have words in this book, so tell us about the character. Tell us about your main character in the book.
Well, Suzanne is is this annoying but very active girl, and she asks a lot of questions. She's very curious, and she wants to be a detective and find out the answers to big questions. Of course, the main question she wants to know is, why do people do what they do? But in the process, she solves mysteries with some sort of bad characters. She saves animals. She learns what makes a bully and turns him into a friend. So she has a lot of different ways that she goes. And she has had hard times making friends and finally begins to learn how to get along with other people.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, right? She leaves the nest. She leaves the safety of her home in Kansas, and then she travels to reunite with the family. And you talk about the adventures, and you mentioned that about animals and whatnot. Even at one point, she saves cattle from rustlers and a friend from kidnapping?
This is true. And these are big adventures with really bad characters. And she comes and she has a very patient father who puts up with all of this. So, but these were very, very exciting mysteries and very exciting events in her life.
Yeah, I bet. I love the cover, too, because it takes you back to when you're a kid. You have a little girl on the cover, and she's looking at something and, you know, trying to get with a looking glass, or there's another word for it, but you know how you look through them. I was just looking at one the other day, and it's so clever the way that you've put this together. Will there be even more adventures?
There will be. And I'm in the middle of another one. So, and this, yes, as she gets older. And part of this second book is about some of the mysteries of getting older and developing ways of coping with more feelings.
Oh, that's good too.
And leaving her favorite, her companion for many years was her doll, Betsy Wetsy. And she leaves her doll behind and begins to have real relationships with other people.
Are you hoping that girls find especially your books, and it's kind of like a Nancy Drew-ish modern times sort of read?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm hoping. And parents, too. And this is a good book to read to another child, you know, for one kid to read to another kid, or even for a parent to read to a kid, because it's exciting and a lot of things happen.
Boy, I agree with that. Now, you have, you live in Southern California, and you have two Labradoodles. I'm wondering, do you bounce ideas off of them?
I do. Because
I know you like animals, because we talked about that, and we talked about that in this book. That's great. Do you, for this book, again, Suzanne Collier's second book of Mysteries and Mayhem, what do you hope, overall, kids take away from reading your book?
I guess the main thing is for kids and adults who could read it, they might like it too.
Yeah.
Is a feeling that it's okay to be who you are. And if you are too talkative or you ask too many questions, it's still fine to be who you are.
There you go. It's fine to be who you are. All right. So we look for many more adventures, of course, Suzanne Collier's. How'd you come up with that name? I love it.
I have no idea. But some of these things just, you know, how they come into your head. And it just seemed right for me for this character.
Yeah, I think it's a strong name. It fits, and it's so well done. And you're right. As somebody who read Nancy Drew, you and I talked about that. This is a book that you can get lost in as an adult, too. But certainly it's definitely great to read to kids, to read to girls and boys. I mean, really across the board, because her adventures are so interesting, and where she goes from one adventure to another and then what happens is pretty wild. Paula Diggs, again, you can get this book on Amazon, Susan Collier's second book of Mysteries and Mayhem. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much. And I hope everybody who buys the book reads it and enjoys it and finds a solution to lots of mysteries in their lives.
I love it. That's a good way to end this. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
All right, so thanks for that. We move on to a couple of other things, and we'll catch up with Teresa Chatham another time. But let's talk about some of the things that are buzzing around the country. It's like what I talked about at the top of this. Certainly it has to be Kim Potter, the ex-officer released on bond after Dante Wright's death. That was obviously huge, released on $100,000 bond, going into court on Thursday for that initial appearance, faces up to 10 years in prison, $20,000 fine. That's according to Minnesota law, because intent isn't a necessary component of second-degree manslaughter in Minnesota. I'm going to say it again for the third time. The charge can be applied in circumstances where a person is suspected of causing a death by culpable negligence. So that creates that unreasonable risk and consciously takes chances to cause the death of a person. All eyes will absolutely be watching to see what happens there. The other big thing that I think that's without a doubt that's going on, it's just a little bit of a blip now because of so many other things, but is also what I mentioned, Bernie Madoff, and how huge it was, that Ponzi scheme. It can't be understated. I mean, there's a movie made about Bernie Madoff. At the time of his arrest, fake account statements told clients Madoff's scheme had holdings worth $60 billion. A court-appointed trustee has recovered more than $13 billion of an estimated $17.5 billion investors put into Madoff's businesses. He died at the age of 82 in a federal prison. He had been there for 11 years. And, I mean, Steven Spielberg had a ton of his money with Bernie Madoff. Jeffrey Katzenberg, co-founder of DreamWorks Pictures alongside Spielberg, also had a lot of money. Larry King had money in with Madoff. Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick, his wife, Gold Globe winning actors, married couple, both of them had money with him as well. And John Malkovich was in that crew. Sandy Koufax, the former, the Major League Hall of Fame pitcher from the Brooklyn Los Angeles Dodgers, and the list goes on and on and on. And besides the famous people, I think the people who couldn't recoup that money in the big amounts that some of the others could on the list, because they had every penny they had put into Madoff's funds, and that was their retirement. They had nothing, they had nothing left or very little left, because they trusted Madoff. They trusted the reputation. They trusted what he was doing for charity, and got pulled into that wicked, wicked web of absolute lies. Mm. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, peeps.
Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.